This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Satterberg. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as we get you ready for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final on Wednesday evening between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. Edmonton, a minus 130 favorite at home in Game number 1. They are a slight minus 120 favorite for the entire series. Coming up on Thursday is Game 1 of the NBA Finals in Oklahoma City. The Thunder, a 9-point favorite over the Indiana Pacers, and the Thunder, one of the more historic, heavily favored teams as far as a series price is concerned. It was minus 700, but it had dropped down to probably the 650, 675 range as the Thunder favored to make quick work of the Indiana Pacers in the NBA Finals. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so from now, we're going to be joined by Grant Mitchell from Forbes as we get his take on the NBA Finals prop bets as well for game number one. I could throw out some trends here that we've been tracking when it comes to the NBA Finals, but we're going to get to that when we talk to Grant and get his takes for game number one and for the series in general. Gave out a best bet on last night's show, Thunder in the first half, so we'll see what Grant thinks about that. In Major League Baseball, we had some exciting stuff happen here on Tuesday. The Colorado Rockies won their second straight game. I mean, that deserves at least a golf clap there. They win for the second straight night in Miami, and that means for the first time in 22 series, the Marlins will get a win. That's right. They snap a streak of 22 consecutive series losses going back to last season. They are now 11-50. This is just the second time this year that they've won two straight games. So the question is, can they make it three in a row? It has happened before. Well, not this year for this team, but can they make it three in a row? If they do, something will happen that has not happened this season. Actually, it doesn't have to happen that way, but if they win on Wednesday in Miami and they sweep the Marlins, it will also be just the second time this season that they won a game in which Kyle Freeland started. Kyle Freeland is 0-8 on the season with a 5.72 ERA. The Rockies have lost every single game that he has started with the exception of a 4-3 win on May 1st in San Francisco when Freeland goes six innings allowing three runs on seven hits. And the Rockies got a 4-3 win over the Giants, scoring two runs in the top of the eighth inning. So every start that Freeland has made, they have lost except for that eighth inning surge to beat the San Francisco Giants back on May 1st. Meanwhile, Cal Quantrill will start for the Miami Marlins, and what's really interesting when you look at a guy like Quantrill is he's actually been one of the more profitable pitchers this year, which is crazy because, like, he's got a losing record and he's 3-5 with a 5.84 ERA. But the Marlins have actually won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of his starts. And in every single one, for the most part, they've been dogs. So you get that plus money price on all those wins there that they've won with Cal Quantrill starting, and that's how you get for them being or him being a profitable pitcher, at least here for Miami. Quantrill did pitch for the Rockies last year, so he knows exactly what this losing feels like. Maybe not to this historic rate, but right now Miami is short minus 145 favorite, and I don't know about you. Like, I can't do it. I mean, I have to bet the Marlins. I just have to. I have to do it. And I understand it's the most square bet of all time. Right? It's the most square bet of all time is to bet the Marlins and fade the Rockies going for a third straight win, because there's no one believes that that's going to happen. It just, I have to do it. It's one of those things, right? Plus, also, it's actually one of my favorite trends to bet in Major League Baseball, believe it or not, which is where you have a team that is looking to avoid a sweep. So this is what I like. I like teams that are looking to avoid a three-game sweep this year. If you look at teams this season that are just looking to avoid a three-game sweep in Major League Baseball, and all you did was just bet on the teams that are looking to avoid the sweep, well, you are profitable this year. Not by much, but you're profitable. You're actually at 40, a little under 50% straight up, if all you did was bet on these teams to avoid a three-game sweep. But this is what I find that's pretty interesting, is if you were favored in the first two games of the series, and then you are a favorite again in the third game of the series. So you lost the first two games as a favorite. Now you're going into the third game, 11-7 this year, 11 wins, 7 losses. Now, based on the line on those games, you might be a little bit under profit. You might be a little bit over profit, depending on how it is. But I just like betting these teams to avoid the three-game sweep. But I know it's square. I know it's like what everyone's going to do, right? The Rockies, no way they win three games in a row. No way the Rockies win three games in a row. Well, watch them go out here and win three games in a row against the Miami Marlins. Something we will have to keep an eye on and decide if, in fact, we are actually going to pull the trigger on betting the Marlins to avoid a three-game sweep. Like I said, it's something that I like doing. It hasn't exactly, you know, worked out this year as much as it has in previous seasons. Like, I can tell you right now, last season, this trend was, wow, 63% winners last year. If all you did was bet, if the favorites lose the first two games, you bet the favorite in the third game to avoid that three-game sweep. 63% winners last year. 2 years ago, 65% winners. Favorite loses the first two games, you bet the favorite to win the third game in the series. We're talking 64% last year, 65% 2 years ago, 66% 3 years ago. But this year, 61%. So not as profitable this year as it has been in previous years. Does that mean that we're going to revert to the mean, revert to the averages, and it's going to now be profitable moving forward? Maybe. Does it start with a Marlins win here on Wednesday? Maybe it does. Something to keep an eye on in Major League Baseball when we look at the schedule coming up here for Wednesday. We've got a ton of day games to get to in on Wednesday's schedule. The other story in Major League Baseball that we saw on Tuesday was the New York Yankees getting a victory over the Cleveland Guardians 3-2. The reason why that was a story, a couple of things. One, Carlos Rodon with another ridiculous start. And he is back to being the Carlos Rodon that the Yankees thought they were getting when they signed him. Rodon in his last 9 starts has done something that no Yankee pitcher has ever done. Now, how crazy is that? And this is literally a fact. In his last 9 starts, Carlos Rodon has struck out 70 batters and only allowed 9 earned runs. No Yankee pitcher has ever had 70 or more strikeouts and allowed 9 or fewer runs in any 9-game span in a single season. That's how historic this 9-game stretch has been for Carlos Rodon. But in the 9th inning, the Yankees, they don't have their closer, Luke Weaver. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. So what do? They turn their attention to the guy they brought in to be their closer at the beginning of the season, Devin Williams. And what does Devin Williams do? He gives you the full Devin Williams experience. He allows a run, a double, and then a single, scoring a run in the ninth inning. And the Yankees hold on to get the save. So he gets credit for the save. Yankees hold on to get the W, 3-2. But he gives up a run in the ninth. And I don't know if Yankees fans can do this for 4 to 6 more weeks, is deal with the Devin Williams experience in the ninth inning. And that might be something to file away in your back pocket when you're handicapping Yankee games moving forward, is what's the availability of the rest of the guys in their bullpen? Will it be Devin Williams getting the saves? And are you comfortable with Devin Williams getting the save? Or are you more comfortable? Like, I might be more comfortable if Tim Hill's a guy going out there and getting a save. But certainly Devin Williams gave you that full experience here for the Yankees on Tuesday night. They do get the win, and he gets the save. So wipe it away, put it in the past, and look forward to the next game. If you want to know where the real money is going, well, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings, which gives you the insight into where the sharp action is landing. We know Circa is known for taking big bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings providing a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. You can see the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. Coming up next, Grant Mitchell, Forbes contributor, will join me, Scott Seidenberg, here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. Joining us now to talk about the NBA Finals, Game 1 on Thursday in Oklahoma City, where the Thunder are a 9-point favorite over the Indiana Pacers. Grant Mitchell is a contributor to Forbes. He is also the co-host of the Ride the Line podcast, and he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line right now. Grant, thanks so much for giving us a couple of minutes here on VSiN. Let's talk about this series as a whole first. We know that this is a historic line when it comes to how heavy of a favorite the Thunder are against the Pacers. Do you agree with the market pricing that the Thunder should be head and shoulders favored over the Indiana Pacers, or do you think Indy gets a couple of games in this series?
So I'm just going to say up front, I'm going to be talking out of both sides of my mouth throughout the next 10 minutes or so, because I think it's important to give the Pacers their credit. If you go back to the start of 2025, since New Year's Day, they have the second best record in the NBA. So don't let that four seed fool you. They started 10-15, and they've legitimately been one of the three best teams in the NBA since that moment. So give the Pacers their respect where it's due. From a betting perspective, this is the Thunder's series to just totally dominate. You're seeing that with a 9-point spread in Game 1. It's a historically lopsided series. The Thunder are the largest favorites in NBA Finals history. Obviously, the Pacers would be the largest underdog to ever win the series if they're able to do that. Currently, that title is held by the 03-04 Pistons. If I'm looking at this Game 1 here, I see no reason why the Thunder can't come out and just do what they've done. In 2025, the Thunder have a net rating of plus 17 at home. Again, they just totally dominate these teams, and they do it in a multitude of ways. They can play from behind, although they're rarely behind. They usually get that early lead, and they continue to pour it on because they have so much youth and they have so much depth. And if for whatever reason it's a close game in the third quarter, their defense, not even their offense, their defense powers them on runs. I've never seen a team turn defense into offense as well as the Thunder. Indiana leads the playoffs in true shooting percentage. They've made some wild shots. There's always going to be 3-point variance, but you got to trust the team that's been doing it and doing it all year. The Thunder have the highest point differential in NBA history. You got to back them in Game 1.
So if we like the Thunder to win in a relatively short series, How does that change our handicap on some of these series player props? Because we know we can bet like the assist leader, the points leader, things like that. We can also look at the per game averages. I know DraftKings has the points per game, assists per game, rebounds per game. And I find those to be fascinating because in a shorter series, it might only take one big game from one of these players to skew their averages. So, like, for example, Aaron Nesmith has 8 3-pointers in game one against the New York Knicks. If that series only goes 4 games, like, Nesmith might be the leader in 3-pointers for the series. But it goes 6 games and obviously allows other more time for players to then, you know, pad their stats. So if we think it's going to be a shorter series, how does that affect your handicap on the series prop markets?
No, I think that's a very intelligent angle that you approach that from. And I'll be honest there. I think for the most part, these markets are going to play out as you would expect. But there are two long shots of different amounts that I would look at if I'm trying to find some plus money bets here. So one of them is actually for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to lead the series in assists. One of the main reasons I would be looking at him is in both regular season matchups against the Pacers, which the Thunder won both of and covered in both of those. Shai had 8 assists in both of them. Tyrese Haliburton had 8 in one, but he had 3 in the other. I think the Thunder are going to approach defending Haliburton with a very physical approach. I think they're going to have Lu Dort face guarding him. And as great as Tyrese Haliburton has been in these playoffs, he hasn't had a full-time pest with the level of physicality as a Lu Dort or an Alex Caruso, or if they want the length, they can put Jalen Williams on him. I think it's going to be a little overwhelming for him in his first NBA Finals. Shai has proven himself time and time again, so I think that's one guy that you could definitely look at for around 4-1, 5-1 or so, something like that. Another big plus money hit, which is definitely plus money for a reason, but to what you were saying, it takes one good game to potentially win this entire market. Jalen Williams, most 3-pointers made in the series. This is a guy who went 6 of 9 from 3 in a game in the last series. He's a confidence sort of player. You know, if he starts hot, he's normally going to go hot for the next few games. But Indiana isn't exactly known for their defense. So although they've improved, I do think there's value on that line as well.
Yeah, plus 1,100 now for Jalen Williams to be the leader in 3-pointers. And I like that because all it takes, as we mentioned, just one big game. You have one big game, and next thing you know, you're leading the series in one of these statistical categories. We're talking to Grant Mitchell, Ford's contributor, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As we look at game one specifically in the prop market, who are a couple of players and angles you're looking to attack?
Yeah, so I'm going to give a game one prop here. And then also to what you were saying, a points per game, rebounds per game, et cetera, a per game market. Pascal Siakam. I think this is an important series for him. I'm going to be looking at him to go over his total in game one. In that 19.5 points per game, you're finding him for the series. I think he'll go over that as well. If I'm looking back at what he just pulled off, and you can debate if he deserved to win conference finals MVP, I would say no, that probably should have gone to Tyrese Haliburton, but he did still average about 25 points per game. And this is the kicker. He led the Pacers in field goal attempts per game. When you look at this Pacers roster, yes, they were in the conference finals last year, but that was somewhat unexpected, somewhat out of nowhere, and then they were out of there in short order. Siakam's the only guy on this team who's been to an NBA finals before. And despite him averaging just about 20, 21 points per game in these playoffs, he's done that in 33 minutes per game. I know that one of the strengths of the Pacers is their depth, and I think Rick Carlisle will continue to utilize TJ McConnell and Obi Toppin and Ben Shepherd, but I would be shocked if Siakam didn't average more than 33 minutes per game. I think you're going to see that in the 37-38 region. When it becomes an elimination game, he's probably going to play 40 to 42 minutes. And with that line sitting 19.5 points plus money on the over, that's really tempting. So Siakam, good game one, good series for him overall.
When you're looking at some of these props, if we think that this game one is going to go how we think it is, which is, you know, a blowout in favor of the Oklahoma City Thunder, are there players that we can look to then attack in the prop market? Maybe bench players that are going to come in the fourth quarter and play mop up duty, guys that are going to play off the bench. And maybe it's, you know, TJ McConnell could get more run later in the game if the Thunder are up by 20 somewhat points in the fourth quarter. And some of the players like Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Haliburton could wind up sitting. So is there anybody, I know I mentioned TJ McConnell as one of them, is there anybody from the Pacers bench maybe, or maybe it's the Thunder bench, that you would consider going with a prop over if we think the game's going to play out with a Thunder cruising to a victory?
Yeah, Obi Toppin had some interesting moments in the last series, and this is a totally different angle I would take, but I still settle on the same thought process, which is I think there's value to Obi Toppin in his rebounds. His line for a lot of those games in the Knicks series was 3.5. In that Knicks series, they needed him to provide some attention to the rebound to the rebounding department because the Pacers were just getting slaughtered there, especially with Mitchell Robinson in the game. Against the Thunder are not a great rebounding team, but they have these long, versatile, athletic wings, which is exactly what Toppin is. The difference is he's a lot taller than those guys. And he can jump a lot higher. So again, although Toppin might be a guy who's going to play 18 minutes in one game, could be out there for 30 in the next one. So I would just keep an eye on it. I'm not saying bet the over in every game, but maybe watch game one, see how it shakes out. And if Toppin plays 25 minutes and has 5 rebounds, I would say he could probably consistently do that for however many games the series goes.
What's your thought on Chet Holmgren scoring? We saw Karl Anthony Towns have a tremendous scoring series against Miles Turner, and we know that Karl Anthony Towns just has done a tremendous job in his career against Miles Turner scoring the basketball. Can Chet Holmgren have similar success?
So I'm going to say no, and this isn't me calling out Chet or saying that I think he's going to have a bad series. Karl Anthony Towns was especially effective driving the ball. Miles Turner is a great shot blocker. He's versatile. He's mobile. That does not mean that he has the strength, the bricks in the back pocket to wall up and stop someone who's attacking the rim. Chet's not that type of player. He doesn't have the usage rate for it. He has some of the skill set, but he's not even close to as physical as Karl Anthony Towns. He's actually one of the least physically imposing centers in the entire league. So because Miles Turner is a great shot blocker, I think Chet's going to get his open shots. I think he's going to space the floor, knock down his threes. But if you're asking me, am I more confident in a Chet points prop or a Chet three-pointers prop, I would probably go with the latter.
Good point there. Grant, great stuff. Enjoy game one and enjoy the series. Good luck with your bets.
Thank you. You as well.
There he is, Grant Mitchell. Check him out. Forbes contributor, co-host of the Ride the Lines podcast with our buddy Tanner Kern, frequent visitor here on VSiN as well. Well, the NBA Finals are coming up here. Thursday is game one, and we're breaking it all down here on VSiN. Get more of our NBA playoff coverage right now on the VSiN Watch app. Coming up next, we'll give you the trends that we went over previously for game number one of this series in the NBA Finals, and specifically the historical aspect of the Thunder being this heavy of a favorite in game number one. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. It's Cashin' Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashin' Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's Cashin' Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live as we continue to get ready for both the Stanley Cup Final, game number one coming up here on Wednesday night, and game number one of the NBA Finals on Thursday night in Oklahoma City. We just got done talking with Grant Mitchell from Forbes. We gave out his best bets for the NBA, just the whole series, where he does like the Thunder in the series. He likes SGA to have the most assists. And right now on DraftKings, you can get that at plus 500. And also another shot that he likes for a series long prop is Pascal Siakam over 19.5 points per game. In fact, he likes Siakam to go over 19.5 points in game number one. And he's on the Thunder in game number one. I am on the Thunder in game number one as well. I'm on the Thunder in the first half in game number one. This is something we talked about on last night's show, and the trends to me are just too strong to ignore when you consider the situation that the Thunder are in here. So the Thunder are 9-point favorites. And if we go back through the history of the database looking at NBA Finals favorites of 9 or more, well, it's only happened 7 times. And in those games, those teams are a perfect 7-0 straight up. They're 4-2-1 ATS. But that's not the point I'm trying to make here. We know they're 7-0, perfect undefeated. 9-point favorites in the NBA Finals. But they are winning the first half by almost 8 points per first half in those seven games. So 9-point favorites in the NBA Finals, winning the first half by almost 8 points per first half. Now you're saying, Scott, that's not a big enough sample size. It's not, it just doesn't do anything for me. All right, what, you know, 9-point favorites, yeah, okay. Seven games, whatever. Well, how about this? Everyone wants to talk about the long layoff possibly affecting the Oklahoma City Thunder. Well, I'm here to tell you that having a week off not only doesn't hurt you, it has shown to actually help you. In the NBA playoffs, history of the database, going back to 2003, 2004, NBA playoff teams at home, home teams that are playing on a week of rest or more, 7 days of rest or more, those teams at home, 21-5 straight up, 19-7 against the spread. The average line in those games is 8.5. So that's right in line with what we have here for game number one with the Thunder as a 9-point favorite. So on average, the 26 teams that are playing at home after a 7 day or more rest in the NBA playoffs, on average, they're 8.5-point favorites. They're 21-5 straight up, 19-7 against the spread. And they are winning the first half by 9 points in the first half. You see, that's what jumps out to me. We already know how good the Thunder are. They're 9-point favorites for a reason. And history has shown us that these 9-point favorites, or greater, in the NBA Finals, not only do they win the games, but they start off fast. And they win the first half by 8 points per half, per the first half. Not only that, we have a team that plays defense as great as they play, rested. And we know that defense takes up energy and intensity. So we have a rested team, a rested big home favorite. And those teams historically in the NBA playoffs, 21-5 straight up, 19-7 ATS, but winning the first half by 9 points. Thunder are 5-point favorites in the first half. My favorite bet for this game is the Thunder -5 in the first half. And another way that you can get creative and play this game is the wire-to-wire play. And for those who are just tuning in and haven't heard me talk about the wire-to-wire prop before, up on DraftKings, and other sportsbooks offer this as well, a wire-to-wire bet means the team has to have the lead at the end of every quarter. They don't have to win every quarter. They have to win the first quarter, and they have to win the game. But as long as they have the lead at the end of every quarter, that is considered a wire-to-wire winner. So let's say the Thunder go up by 20 in the first quarter. They could still lose the second quarter, but as long as they have a lead at the half, that counts. Same thing with the third quarter, as long as they're winning. Right now up on DraftKings, Thunder wire-to-wire winner is plus 115. If the game plays out how I think it's going to play out, you can get the Oklahoma City Thunder at plus 115 to go wire to wire. And that means win every quarter. Not win every quarter. Have the lead at the end of every quarter. I should specify that. Have a lead at the end of every quarter. Now, another way to get creative and place this bet, if you cannot do it on, if you cannot have access to DraftKings or whatever, you can also do a same game parlay. Like here in Vegas, you can do it on MGM. You can do it on Caesars. You can do a same game parlay of Thunder to win the first quarter, Thunder to win the first half and Thunder to win the full game. And if you money line parlay all three of those, well, then you're coming out with close to a minus 125, minus 130 bet, which is a lot better than betting the minus 405 on the Thunder to win the game. Now, you're not going to get the plus 115 that DraftKings offers you on the wire to wire, but it's a lot better than doing the double result at minus 250 or minus 275, or like I said, the full game line at minus 405. So you can get creative and you could do the first quarter, first half, and full game money line, same game parlay. And that will put you at, let's see, we'll try to price it out. I know MGM priced it out at minus 130. But again, DraftKings plus 115, wire to wire, Oklahoma City Thunder. But the best bet for me, Thunder first half minus five. And again, history has shown us that these teams that are heavy favorites in the finals, these teams in the NBA playoffs that are well-rested, dominate the first halves. And I think that's what happens here in game number one of the NBA finals. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. The final jewel of the Triple Crown is here. It's the Belmont Stakes coming up, and there's no better time to bet the races than right now with First Bet. That's right. New users can get a $200 sign-up bonus if you just use promo code VSIN200. That is at First Bet. So you want to go ahead and check that out with the Belmont coming up here this weekend. The mile and a half, as they say, the big stretch there in Belmont. I've been to the Belmont a couple of times when I did radio broadcasts live from Belmont. In a Triple Crown year, you get over 100,000 people there, and it's insane. Now, without a Triple Crown possibility, does it draw the same crowd? No, but it's still a pretty hot ticket. Still a fun atmosphere there in Elmont, New York. Elsewhere in the NBA, the big story that came down on Tuesday, the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau. I don't think they make this move without knowing who they're going to bring in to replace him. Now, we have odds on who is going to be the next head coach of the New York Knicks. The favorite is Mike Malone, which makes sense. That's the name that everyone's been throwing out there, right? Mike Malone is a championship coach who the Denver Nuggets decided to part ways with. He's out there. He's doing some media work. Makes sense that Mike Malone's the favorite. Jay Wright is the second favorite, and that's the name that just, I know it's a fun story to think about because he could coach his Villanova players. Like if they had DiVincenzo, awesome. Also, that would be crazy because then you get all four of those guys. But right now with Hart, Brunson, and Mikal Bridges, you got your three Villanova guys that Jay Wright can coach. It's a nice, fun story. But Jay Wright's got a cushy media job now, and he's enjoying it. He's not going to coach. He's not going to go to the NBA and coach the Knicks. He's just not. Jeff Van Gundy is a very intriguing name because he's an assistant now. I believe he's an assistant with the Rockets. And Van Gundy has done a good job of, he's like the defensive coordinator, if you will, or with the Clippers, not the Rockets. He's with the Clippers. He's the defensive coordinator, assistant coach with the Clippers. And he's done a really good job with that team. Is he ready to be a head coach again in the NBA? And would Dolan bring him back to a place that he's familiar with? Yeah, boy, it seems like a Dolan move, huh? I'm Scott Seidenberg. We'll continue here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. as we are ready for game one of the Stanley Cup final here on Wednesday night between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers. The Oilers, a small minus 130 favorite at home. They are a short minus 120 favorite for this series. Also, game one of the NBA finals coming up on Thursday night, where the Thunder are a 9-point favorite over the Indiana Pacers. Major League Baseball, as we take a look at Wednesday's schedule, we have a couple of getaway days situational spots. We have teams looking to avoid the sweep, like the Miami Marlins, who are looking to avoid a 3-game sweep at the hands of the Colorado Rockies. Yes, you heard me correctly. The Colorado Rockies have won 2 straight games, beating Miami in both games of this series. They win game one with a 6-4 score. They win game two with a 3-2 score. And with that win, the Rockies have snapped a 22 straight series losing skid. That's right. Going back to last season, the Rockies had lost 22 consecutive series. But now they are guaranteed a win in this series, and they will go for the sweep here of the Marlins on Wednesday. A lot of day games here on Wednesday. As I mentioned, getaway situations, teams looking to avoid the sweep. If we're looking at just, sweep situations, well, the Red Sox looking to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Angels. And this is something that I don't think anybody expected with Boston, who a lot of people, including myself, were high on this year. But clearly, this offense, without Alex Bregman, is troublesome. They are struggling. A 4-3 loss in extra innings on Tuesday night, and 2 hits from Jaron Duran, 1 hit from Devers, 1 hit from Ref Snyder. You got 3 hits from Rafaela, and 1 hit from Trevor Story. So, I mean, look, they got 10 hits, but they came from 3, 4, 5, 6 players. Like, okay, it's great, of the rest of your lineup, but some of those guys were pinch hit guys that came in. I mean, you're not getting a lot of offense. You're not getting a lot of extra base hits. This is a team that Bregman had such an impact in this lineup. And my question is, for the Boston Red Sox, why haven't they called up Roman Anthony yet? We saw Jack Caglione get called up for the Kansas City Royals, one of the top prospects in all of Major League Baseball, their top prospect. Well, Roman Anthony is the number one prospect in all of baseball, and he's still sitting there in AAA Worcester just waiting to get called up to the Red Sox. And don't tell me that this Sox team can't use him, because their offense is struggling right now as they look to avoid the sweep here against the Angels. Lucas Giolito will get the start for the Red Sox. They are minus 130 home favorites, and Jose Soriano is on the bump there for the Angels. The Pirates will look to take game two, as it's the middle set of this. It's just a short series here. Or it's just the middle game of the series. But they're taking on the Houston Astros, where, I mean, what more can you say about this Pirates team? We talk about struggling offenses. They just don't give their pitchers any support. Paul Skeens on Tuesday night had a gem of a start once again. And when he wins the Cy Young this season, it's going to be one of those Felix Hernandez type seasons where he's going to have a losing record, but his numbers are just off the charts. Skeens on Tuesday night goes 8 innings, allows 1 run on a solo home run in the 7th inning, 8 strikeouts, 3 total hits allowed, and the Pirates lost that game. It's unbelievable. If you look at pitchers this year in baseball and the average run support, 3 of the lowest run support pitchers in baseball are the top 3 pitchers for the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's Paul Skeens, it's Mitch Keller, and it's Andrew Haney. These guys get no run support. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. The Pirates will send Mike Burrows to the bump here on Wednesday night, taking on Ryan Gusto of the Houston Astros. Houston, a minus 145 road favorite. Mackenzie Gore gets the start for the Nationals at home against the Chicago Cubs, and Matthew Boyd, the Cubs, are a minus 135 favorite. This Cubs offense has been rolling right now. They've won now three straight games, but back-to-back games, scoring seven runs against the Reds the other day, and then eight runs on Tuesday night against the Nationals. So the offense is humming here for the Chicago Cubs. We'll see if Mackenzie Gore can quiet the bats there in this game coming up on Wednesday night. Yankees and Guardians will do it again in the Bronx with Clark Schmidt on the mound for the Yankees and Luis Ortiz going for the Guardians. Yankees are minus 185 favorites, and you have to wonder if it gets to a situation in the ninth inning, once again, as it did on Tuesday night, do they turn to Devin Williams? Williams did get the save, but he also gave up a run. It was a 3-1 lead for the Yankees going into the ninth inning against the Guardians. Devin Williams gives up a double and then a single and holds on to get the 3-2 save. Well, the Yankees get the 3-2 win. He got the save. With Luke Weaver out, the Yankee closer out for 4 to 6 weeks, this is going to be a roller coaster for the Yankees over the next month or so. An absolute roller coaster. Phillies take on the Blue Jays. It's Jose Berríos on the bump for the Jays, and Mick Abel getting the start for the Phillies. Abel's a guy who is going to wind up going up and down this year. Like, he's going to get called up and he's going to eat some innings, and then they're going to send him back down because he's got options. It's one of those things that you do with some of these minor league guys. Yeah, you would like to have a guy come up and maybe stay at the majors, but Abel might be one of those guys that is just going to get called up, make a start, and then get sent back down, come up. You know, we'll see based on availability for Phillies pitchers. Diamondbacks are at the Braves. Merrill Kelly going for the Diamondbacks. Chris Sale on the mound for Atlanta. Braves are minus 175, and Sale's actually been picking it up pretty lately. If we look at his last couple of starts, six shutout innings when he outdueled Zach Wheeler there and the Phillies, seven innings of one-run ball against the Padres, seven innings of one-run ball against the Red Sox, 5 2/3, he gave up two runs against the Pirates, 6 2/3 shutout ball against the Reds. So in the month of May, 32 1/3 innings pitched for Chris Sale, a 1.11 ERA. That's opposed to his, 4.75 ERA that he had in April. So the last few starts for Sale have been really good as the weather starts to heat up, and he is starting to heat up there for the Atlanta Braves. Rangers and Rays there at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. Shane Baz on the mound for the Rays. Kumar Rocker getting the start for the Rangers. Tampa Bay minus 145. Tigers are at the White Sox. Chicago did win on Tuesday night. They scored a bunch late, an 8-1 victory for the White Sox as they defeat the top team in Major League Baseball right now, the Detroit Tigers. Royals are at the Cardinals. Noah Cameron on the mound for the Royals. Miles Michaelis goes for the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals are very good at home this year. 19-9 at home. And I have respect for Miles Michaelis. But Noah Cameron is having some season right now for the Royals. It's early. He's only made four starts. But in the four starts for Noah Cameron this year, the Royals are 2-2. He is personally 2-1. He has thrown 25 2/3 innings, 13 hits allowed, only three runs, and 16 strikeouts. He has a 1.05 ERA, a 0.82 whip. I'm starting to look at the market here for American League Rookie of the Year. And I get it. Jacob Wilson is running away with this award because he has had some start here for the A's. He's been great. No one's going to deny that. And Jack Caglione, now getting called up for the Royals, is the second favorite. Jason Dominguez, the Martian for the Yankees, is the third favorite. You got guys like, Roman Anthony, who hasn't even been called up yet, is 40-1 odds. Noah Cameron's at 55-1. He's not going to win the award, but, could he? What if he continues to have this type of season? What if he continues to pitch to a 1.05 ERA for the rest of the year? I mean, these are monster numbers this kid's putting up. My goodness. Monster numbers. Hey, if you want to bet smarter this football season, you can become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, which is a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. And you'll get instant access to the daily email with the best bets, real-time betting splits, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our NFL betting guide coming out July 1st. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code BOOK to sign up. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.